Chapter 3. A thick pea soup fog had settled down upon the streets of the city until it seemed that Mason's automobile was swimming slowly through a sea of watered milk. The windshield wipers were busily beating a monotonous rhythm of cold protest against the clammy surface of the windshield. Some 50 feet ahead, the red tail light of Harrington Faulkner's automobile served as a guiding beacon.
"He's a slow driver,"
Delastreet said. "An advantage in weather of this kind," Mason agreed. Drake laughed.
"Bet the guy never took a chance in his life. He's a cold-blooded, meticulous bird with an ice-water personality. I almost died when I saw him kick through over there at the table with that gold digger. How much did she nick him for, Perry?"
"I don't know."
"Judging from the expression on his face when he took out his checkbook,"
Della said,
"it must have been just about what the girl asked for. She certainly didn't waste any time once she got her hands on the check. She didn't even wait to finish her dinner."
"No," Mason said. "She didn't make any bones about it. Her interest in Harrington Faulkner was purely financial."
"And when we get out to his house, just what are we supposed to do?"
Drake wanted to know. Mason grinned. "I'll bite, Paul. But he feels that he has to show us the location of the goldfish tank before we can understand his problem. It seems that's an important phase of the case as far as he's concerned, and when he gets an idea, he gets it all the way. As I gather it, Faulkner and his wife live in a large duplex house. One side is their living quarters, and the other is where Faulkner and his partner, Elmer Carson, have their office. Apparently, Faulkner has various goldfish tanks scattered around the place, and this particular pair of veil-tail moors that is the cause of all the excitement is in part of the building that was used as an office. For some reason, Faulkner wants us to see the tank and the fish, and he has to have things done just so or not at all. It's just the way he's made," Drake said.
"Faulkner's a self-contained little cuss. You'd think it would take more than an ordinary jolt to send him running to a lawyer all steamed up. And what I mean is, he's the sort you'd expect to find making an appointment 2 days in advance and keeping that appointment to the exact second,"
Mason said. "He evidently thinks more of that pair of veil-tail moors than he does of his right eye. However, we'll get the details when we get out to his house. My own idea is there's something on his mind other than these fish and the affair with his partner. But I'm not going to stick my neck out until I see what's in the offing." The taillight of the car...